welcome everybody on a Wednesday this week. Trash Talk with Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, Grant Richards, and Tyler Sawa are all joining me. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping by this week. Good to have you in here. Let's get the show started. We got a big show planned today. It's going to be an exciting show. I cannot wait to get into it. But to begin, as always, let's start with the introductions, and let's start with Mike Bilica. Mike, welcome back. How are you? And also, we're recording this on Tuesday nights. I saw Eli earlier today, and one of the things we talked about was, I was thinking about it while I was hanging out with him, and I was like, we have to be getting close to the end of the semester, right? He's like, yeah, I think he said like the second week of December is when his finals are. So, first of all, how are you, Mike? And also, aren't you getting close to the end of the semester too at Wayne?
Yeah, I'm getting closer there, but
when is it?
I think the third week of December is where my finals is. It's usually like right before Christmas, which is lovely. But I'm more focused on Thanksgiving break, if we're gonna be honest. Like Tyler says, you can't ignore Thanksgiving. All right, we gotta give it its credit and its fun.
Why are you looking so forward to Thanksgiving, if I may ask?
It's feast time.
Let's move on to Jay Horn now, another returning Trash Talk crew member. Hello, Jay. How are you? And also, but before you start talking, hold on. I gotta introduce this, okay? We gotta have a Trash Talk crew conversation about Jay and his sports betting. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried. But before we start recording, the rest of the guys all said, hey, it's not an addiction and a problem if you're winning. Jay is winning right now. What's the phrase, Jay?
One win a day makes room for another parlay. Hashtag.
You know, I usually ask Grant how his sports betting goes, but I guess we got to start doing this for Jay now, too. So, hey, Mike, you know what to do.
Jay, how's the sports betting this week? Or as I can say, this week. You had a week of wins.
Yeah, 6 wins, 7 days, you know. Doing pretty good on my, you know, parlay road trip.
Are you at all concerned about yourself?
No. Not at all. Maybe yesterday, though. I the McDonald's thing was a little overboard, but hey.
Yeah, you had people tweet at you the gambling hotline number.
Yeah, I would not be calling them anytime soon unless it's out of hand. But, yeah.
Jay, what are you betting on? Good. What have you been betting on?
Like the app.
Oh, that's another thing. No, like your actual bets. Me and Grant had this conversation the other day. How do you come up with these bets? Royce O'Neal, 10 plus points in a win.
Zubac.
Batum, Zubac. Devin Booker, +5 rebounds in the Suns win. Batum, +15 points in a Clippers win. How do you. What are you doing?
You guys know I'm a basketball guy. And it's every five games. That's my limit. Every five games, and I'm a numbers guy. So you know the odds are always bigger for people like Batum and O'Neal. You do $2, you win like 200. Like the odds are always in their favor because people don't expect much.
But how do you come up with that stuff? Like me and Grant just take games mostly.
Oh,
like
I don't do games because I don't trust, you know, people. I do personal performance. You know, I don't trust like tonight, you know, once I'm done talking in this, you know, segment of the show, I'm going to take my talents to the Nets and Warriors parlays. But
well, let's wrap this up then because Jay's
no,
got
you
some
got time. But, you know, hey, it's fun. But, yeah, it's just a numbers thing. And I bet small like all the time.
I need to go to my other sports betting friend. Grant, what's your thoughts on Jay's recent addiction on sports betting?
Well, I mean, I have two thoughts. Number one, like we mentioned, and I said before the show, if you're winning, it's really not a problem. He's not gambling away his car, his house, his phone. Like,
that's true.
Winning.
That's true.
And I don't know. When I first got into sports betting, I was doing crazy stuff too. And I'm not saying this applies for everyone.
He didn't
but
just
I
get into I, it. That's the thing. He's just started to go crazy.
Yeah, I just got back
into it. Oh, I don't know what to tell you.
I was getting lucky.
Look, you know, dude, it's not luck if you're hitting 6-7 days in a row. That's
no facts. But my no betting list is getting longer. John Collins, you know, shout out to him. He's no more bets for him. Matthew Stafford, no more bets for you.
Oof.
Sorry, Tony.
That hurt. That hurt. What? Had a nice Matt Stafford parlay last night, which very much did not hit.
That we all did.
Zubat still hits.
Batum, Royce O'Neal.
They're gonna hit tonight. Zubac, I got him getting 10 plus and a win. Watch.
Oh, great. All right, thanks, Jay.
Go Clippers.
No, okay, we're done here. We're moving
Jay's
on.
Jay's betting on soccer these days as well, man.
That's another thing.
Chill. Mbappe.
Like, what is even the event right now? Like, if it's the World Cup, the Euro Cup, Copa, like,
World Cup qualifiers.
Man, I learned my lesson, Mike. Never again.
No,
I'm a smart man. I will not touch the World Cup. I've learned my lesson.
Nope. The World Cup in Qatar? No. Oh, yes.
We're going to get parlays in the World Cup.
No, we're not. That's when you can call the number on me. If I place a parlay on the World Cup, oh my goodness. All right, I usually end with Grant, but since we're on the topic of sports betting, let's just continue with him. Grant Richards, hello, how are you today? And as always, Mike, go again.
How's the sports betting this weekend?
Ooh-wee.
Ooh. I am good. Yeah. I had a great weekend of just kind of hanging out. Went to sleep really early on Sunday, which I think kind of saved everything. I don't think I missed anything important. So that was nice.
No, let's not talk about that.
what did I miss? No, I don't have to. I don't want to talk about it anyway. Anyway, sports betting was phenomenal this week. Got the first recorded 4-2 of the season.
Yeah! Wings
coming through, basically guaranteeing me a winning week. And then shout out to my roommate, Cole, who Saturday morning, we woke up to a text from Cole explaining the Michigan man parlay, taking Michigan football to cover, Michigan basketball to cover, the Wings to win, the Pistons to win, and the Lions to win. For those of you not keeping track at home, we went 4-for-5 with a push on the Lions game. So we hit, but at less odds. So that was nice. I fully expected to lose those $5, but that was pretty phenomenal. Tony, how was your sports betting weekend?
Six straight winning weeks. It's not an addiction if you're winning. Six straight winning weeks, and I think 7 out of the last 8 as well. We're on fire. Let's make it another winning week this week, boys. And Jay's gone. Yeah, I think he left to go place a parlay.
He said he'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's got to place that parlay. Oh, great. All right. Well, while we wait for Jay to come back, let's move on to our last introduction here. Tyler Sawa. Hi, Tyler. How you doing today? We were at the Wings game on Saturday night. Saw that thrilling 3-2 overtime win for the good guys over Mike Montreal. 3-2 win for the Wings over the Canadiens. Tyler, what was your favorite moment from the game on Saturday night?
Oh man, favorite moment. Sheesh.
There's a lot of them.
No, it was definitely just winning the game and just the atmosphere in general in that third period and the overtime. I mean, it was just an electric crowd throughout the whole game.
It was
Saturday night at LCA. It was a great crowd. Original six matchup. A lot of history behind that type of game. So I just enjoyed the game and being back at Little Caesars Arena to see a Red Wings game. Because I know for you personally, you haven't been to a Red Wings game since that one game we went to before the lockout.
That was my first time back at LCA for a Wings game since the Sunday before March 11th, which is when everything obviously got crazy. So yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen a Wings game at LCA, and that was awesome.
Yeah, lived up to expectations and exceeded, if anything.
It was awesome. I was glad that I was finally able to get to LCA for a Wings game because, you know, we talked about it last week. This team has been so much fun to watch throughout the earlier parts of the season, and I wanted to get down there to see a game, you know? I wanted to see the boys. I wanted to see Larkin and Raymond and Mo, and I wanted to see this team play. So to be able to finally get down there and see them play, it was awesome. In this specific game, too, it was the original six matchup. We were playing Montreal. I thought we were going to win the game coming into it because we had Tyler Bertuzzi back. Like, I really wanted to be at that game. It's a Saturday night. Like, I just really wanted to be at that game. So the fact that me and Tyler, after searching all day for reasonably priced tickets, we finally found some in the lower bowl. Good seats. It's a good time, and we saw our Red Wings win. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, for sure. Yeah,
just during the game itself, Dylan Larkin had two sick goals. Like, two
from the same goals. Spot, too.
Same exact spot, and, you know, the first one especially, like, I think that's the goal of the year so far we've seen. And to kind of see that in person was like, wow. And the overtime goal, too. It's like, you told me this. It's like half the crowd even, like, realized that we scored a goal, the game-winning goal.
Yeah, seriously. I didn't even realize Dylan scored at first because he shot it and it went in and out of the net so quick. I mean, Tyler was screaming and grabbing me. And he's like, oh, my goodness, we won. I'm like, did we? And then half the arena was kind of the same. It's like half the arena was celebrating. Half the arena was like, what just happened? And it eventually clicked that, yeah, they won. It was Larkin who scored another one. Yeah. Yeah, that was an absolute blast. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been in LCA for a Wings game. I want to get down there to see the boys play. This team has been so fun to watch this year. I want to get down there, see them in person again, and I want to go to that specific game too. So
it was Billy Joel. Don't stop.
I was just about to say that my favorite moment from the game, if anybody cares, was singing Billy Joel. 9 o'clock on a Saturday piano, man. The whole arena was into it too. That was the best part.
Yeah.
It was the third period too. You know what happens in the third period at hockey games.
Yeah. Hey. Like, Don't Stop Believin' is obviously the tradition once the Red Wings win a game, and you know, the whole arena is just singing the song, obviously. But I was shocked of how many people were into Piano Man, Billy Joel. Eh. And, you know, it, like you said, it was during the third period. So
Mickey Redmond by himself made it a classic for the Red Wings. Oh, goodness, yeah. It's always a good time at LCA for the Pistons and the Wings. And like I said, getting back down there for a Wings game, it was fun. Not the last time I will be down there this season. We eventually got to get the whole Trash Talk crew at a Wings game. Mike and Eli have never been to a Wings game, so we're going
to... I've been to two Wings games.
You told me you've never been to a Wings game.
When did I say this?
I
have been to two Wings games.
When?
I have pictures and videos.
Okay.
At the LCA, or is this at Joe Louis, Mike? LCA.
He told me he's never been to a Wings game before.
I've never been to the Joe.
Well, forget everything I just said then. I guess Mike's been there before. I don't know about Eli.
I love them. Why do you think I want to go to one so bad? Because I know how fun they are.
I swear Mike told me he'd never been to a Wings game before. Well, anywho, we still got to get down there for a Trash Talk game, okay? And we will do that later on this season. Don't know when yet because, you know, tickets are a little cha-ching, but hey, nonetheless, we will be back down there for a Trash Talk Wings game.
Win a couple parlays, you know, we're back in business.
Yeah, yeah, you got to hit some sports bets and some parlays before before we get down there. Nonetheless, gentlemen, good to have everyone back this week. Lengthy introductions, but I mean, we only have one topic today, so it's fine that the intros went a little longer than usual. Nonetheless, good to have everyone in the show this week. Let's get right into it. Let's get into our one and only topic today, which will be the Tigers. We're going to talk some Tigers baseball today because the Detroit Tigers, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. Oh, when I said to start the show that this is going to be a big show and it's going to be really, really exciting, here's why this show is going to be really exciting for us. Because the Tigers, as of now, they might be the team that makes the most, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they might be the team that makes the most noise this offseason in Major League Baseball for a good, in a good way. Now, they got to put their money where their mouth is. We'll talk about the rumored big names for the Tigers later on here. but the Tigers are rumored to get some big time names in here. And also, the Tigers already made one big splash in free agency. That's where I'm going to bring Tyler in here. Everyone already knows my thoughts on the Tigers signing Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, I love it. Some people go, oh, he had a 4.74 ERA with Boston last season. Look at the rest of the numbers. The rest of the numbers, despite a little bit of a high ERA, they're excellent. A FIP of 3.32, close to 200 strikeouts, and K per 9 close to 11. And he did this in Fenway, mind you. Imagine what he could do in a pitcher-friendly ballpark like Comerica. Not to mention, in 2018-19 for Rodriguez, back-to-back seasons of an ERA right around 3.8, which in Fenway, I mean, that's good, period, but in Fenway, my goodness, 3.8 ERA in Fenway, it's particularly good. But also in 2019, just a really strong season for Erod, 19 wins, over 200 strikeouts, and he finished 6th in the Cy Young voting. Like, this is a good pitcher. This is one of the top pitchers on the free agent market this offseason, and he's a Tiger. And I think we got him at a good contract, too. 5 years, $77 million with an opt-out after year two? Like, I think that's a good contract, and the Tigers just signed a good player. They got a good player in here to add to our young rotation led by Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, and Matt Manning. Eduardo is going to be 29 next season, so he fits the timeline of this team and this rotation too, if you will, so perfectly. The Tigers got a good player in Erod, and they spent big money too. What have we been saying about the Tigers? They need to spend big money this offseason. And they started off free agency in the offseason by doing that. They spent some big money, and they got a good player in here, okay? Everyone knows my thoughts. I love it. But Tyler, Erod, what was your thoughts on the signing?
I remember in our preview of the offseason, I brought up Erod's name as a guy I would really like for the Tigers to go after. You know, once they made this move, I thought maybe it would eliminate us going after another high-end starting pitcher. But, you know, just from the rumors, which I'm assuming you'll probably get into after this, I guess it has not eliminated the Tigers from, you know, being interested in a high-market starter, Justin Verlander.
Doesn't seem like the Tigers are done, let's say that.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Well, they still have to address another position anyways, shortstop. But, no, as far as Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, I think statistically, if you just look at the numbers, it's just a guy where you don't really understand the contract, and it's just like, I mean, like, yeah, he's okay. And I think people have to have a fair expectation for a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez. Like, you didn't bring him in to be your ace. Like, that's not the expectation for Eduardo Rodriguez. The expectation for a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez is he's going to, you know, he's going to fill out your rotation and be a very, very quality starter, a number two at the highest and a number four at the lowest, I would say, for a guy like Eduardo. I think he's right in the middle. I think he's your number three as of right now. I mean, he's just a guy that this team really needs. He fits the timetable of, you know, where they want to compete. He has playoff experience, good playoff experience. He's a high strikeout guy. He's coming to a pitcher-friendly ballpark. He's a lefty, which the Tigers needed another lefty in their rotation, assuming that they might potentially be parting ways with Matthew Boyd, or he's just not part of the long-term answer. The Tigers needed another lefty in that rotation. And to kind of have that all come together, it's just a perfect signing. Like we said, the Tigers needed some starting pitcher. They needed a guy who's more than just a guy who's going to eat innings. And Eduardo Rodriguez is more than that. And I think it was really impressive what he did in Boston, especially the last two seasons he played in 2019 and 2021, because obviously 2020 he was out because he had the COVID heart issue, or he actually got COVID pretty badly, so he had to miss all of 2020. But his last two seasons that he played were very productive versus very good baseball teams with good offenses. Like, I mean, you got to remember, he was coming in from the AL East where you're playing teams like the Yankees, the Rays, Toronto, the Blue Jays. Yeah, I mean, those are really good offenses and in very hitter-friendly ballparks in Toronto, Baltimore, New York, Boston. Yeah, and his home ballpark as well in Boston. Yeah, and Baltimore as well, Camden Yards, even though they're not the greatest team. But they're all hitter-friendly ballparks. And the numbers that he had, not the ERA, take out the ERA, because it was just a very weird year.
It's an outlier, Eduardo. Not to interrupt you, it's an outlier.
Yeah, most definitely. It was just a weird year for his ERA to be as high as it is, because you mentioned the FIP stat. It's just, it doesn't really match up. And I think, you know, as he comes to Comerica and comes to Tiger, I think those numbers will adjust for itself. And it just doesn't seem likely that that ERA will be as high as it was in Boston if he could keep that FIP to where it was in 2021 and in 2019. So, you know, and the competition is a lot lesser in the AL Central than the AL East as well. Like, you're not playing the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Tampa Bay Rays, you know, 80 or 70 plus games in a season. You're playing now, Chicago is actually a really good team, but then the Guardians, Royals, and the Twins. Yeah, it's like, it's a significant difference where I think Eduardo's going to benefit off. And, you know, he's just, he's the perfect puzzle piece that they need in this rotation. You know, he's not too young where he doesn't have enough experience. He's not too old where he's like washed. He fits the timetable so perfectly for this rotation. And he's right in the middle of that rotation as that number three, number two potentially. But I think as that number three guy, it's just a perfect signing. And like you said, they got him at a very, very affordable contract. Of the very minor transactions we've seen in the MLB, and another starting pitcher getting paid already, Noah Syndergaard and Jose Berrios. I thought Eduardo Rodriguez, the, you know, the deal that they got him under, and that they're not necessarily locked to him on a five-year deal, that they could opt out after 23 if things don't go, you know, as planned, which I don't think will end up happening, but if things don't go as planned.
But it's still there.
You're not stuck in a Jordan Zimmermann situation like you were now, or even to a certain degree the Miguel Cabrera situation. Like, you're not stuck to a ginormous contract, which is, first of all, not even ginormous, but you're not stuck to something so long-term. So it's just a perfect signing, and you know, you mentioned it, just a good bang to start off the off season. You got Barnhart already, and now you got Eduardo Rodriguez. If the Tigers don't end up signing another high-end starter, I think it's okay if you just end up with Eduardo Rodriguez, and then if you somehow strike out on another high-end starter, which Justin Verlander, this is like the only name that makes really sense. If you can't get another high-end starter, I think it was really important that the Tigers got somebody right now that they could count on, because I told you before the show even started, I think if we get another high-end starter, that is a luxury at that point, because with the rotation you have in place right now, as far as your top three guys, especially, and even Matt Manning, I mean, whatever you get now, I mean, you need another starter, obviously, but whatever you get now, like a high-end starter, that's a luxury. You don't technically need another high-end pitching guy under the books right now. Would it be nice? Most definitely, but they don't necessarily need it. So getting Eduardo's deal done, it's a huge need for this team, and you know, I can't be more happier.
There's a few things I want to say, bouncing off of your points. First of all, I think it was Cody Stavenhagen who mentioned this on Twitter. If it wasn't him, I apologize, who actually said it. But there's not enough people who are talking about this. We have been saying for a while now that we don't want to see the Tigers go after any random veteran pitcher this offseason. Like, they actually got to go spend some money and get an actual big-time guy in here, you know? Like, they don't need another Jose Urania coming in here, with all due respect to Jose, you know? Like, they actually got to get a name in here. They got to get somebody in here to be, like, the real big veteran presence of this young rotation, if you will, you know? And Eduardo Rodriguez is going to do that. And this is what Cody brought up, the fact that he's got postseason experience. I think that really, really matters for a rotation headlined by Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, and Matt Manning. To bring in a guy like Erod, who's got postseason experience, who has won a World Series, and is coming off a postseason run with Boston in which he was one of the more reliable guys in their postseason rotation, like, that's really going to mean something for this team and specifically the young guys in the rotation. So that's something I wanted to mention. But also, Tyler, I just want to get your quick thoughts on this too. As I said, to kind of start off the Tigers topic here, the Tigers are finally spending big money again. And coming into this offseason, every Tigers fan was saying, we gotta see this team spend big money. they're spending big money. How good does it feel to see them spending big money again?
I'm going to use the word of the day, refreshing. You know, it's just...
Bro,
it's just,
refreshing!
Yeah, it's just nice to see a Detroit sports team kind of, you know, go a different gear, and instead of always rebuilding and selling pieces off, that we have a team that is being aggressive and trying to, you know, value winning now, which is just fun to see because, you know, as far as a Tigers fan and just a Detroit sports fan in general, you know, you're getting sick of seeing all these rebuilds left and right. It's really difficult when you have all four teams rebuilding at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just nice to see a team finally go for it. And, you know, this doesn't seem like a team where, you know, that they're not qualified to be doing this. Like, the Tigers are qualified to be doing these moves right now, I believe. Like, you have your young players in place. You have some other guys coming up this year, guys like Torkelson and Riley Green and others. Like, you know, you have some other mid prospects that should be coming up too, like a guy like Ryan Kreiler, and the list goes on. It's just the Tigers aren't doing this just to do it. Like, they have a plan in place. Mm-hmm. They have the manager in place. This could actually be something special. This isn't mm-hmm. a team that's just spending to try to sell tickets. They're not bringing in a free agent just to have a name on, you know, their ticket stubs or just a name that they could sell. The Tigers are actually in a position where, you know, they are spending where they could win a division or compete in a playoff spot. That's the big, you know, that's the big plan that's all in place right here. So I think it's just, like, again, refreshing to see a team that we actually have high expectations coming to a season, and then just not even just this season, but like just the whole plan in general, mm-hmm. the AJ Hinch tenured, and, you know, and it's just fun to finally have expectations of wins and losses instead of, you know, just looking at players. Like, you know, when we came to Lions season, it's like, yeah, we don't care about the wins losses. We just care about individual players. And you could damn near say that for all our other teams. It's like for the Red Wings. Yeah, we just care about see how our young players look. And we said that for the Tigers for multiple years. We just want to see how these young players look and who's part of the, you know, the building blocks going forward. It's fun to actually expect wins now and expect bigger things. And the Tigers are doing that. And they've been the most active team in the offseason thus far. And, you know, have already made one really big transaction in Eduardo Rodriguez mm-hmm. and then another really good transaction in Tucker Barnhart.
That's a good transition. That's a really good transition there, Tyler. As I was just about to say, the Tigers have had a big start to the offseason. Obviously, they traded for Tucker Barnhart and they signed E-Rod. But it doesn't seem like the Tigers are done there, and they shouldn't be. Oh, no, they shouldn't be. The Tigers have already had a monster offseason, and we are hoping that it gets even bigger. And this is where I bring back what I said earlier in the Tigers topic. The Tigers might be the team that makes the most noise this offseason in a good way, but they got to put their money where their mouth is. Remember when I said that earlier? I'm bringing it back right now because the Tigers are rumored to sign, or to be favorites, possibly, to sign the two big names of Carlos Correa and now Justin Verlander. Now, that's all fine and dandy, but yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Actually bring these two here. If you can bring in Carlos Correa and Justin Verlander, I'll be on the floor. I'll be on the floor. And as I tweeted on Tuesday night, I won't know what to do. I'll probably just scream. Hey, Tyler, the Tigers have already had a big offseason. You hear so much buzz about Carlos Correa maybe coming here. You hear so much buzz about the Tigers maybe being the team, the favorite, that's going to sign Carlos Correa. And now you're seeing reports from The Athletic that despite the Angels showing interest, Justin Verlander might come back home. Like, I guess simply put, like, how do you react to that? How do you react to that? Because the Tigers, like I said, have already had a big offseason. And now, like, now they're rumored to get two of the top names on the market. And a guy in Correa who I would say is the top guy on the market.
To be interested in those guys is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, the Tigers definitely need a shortstop. Like, that's no question. The Tigers have to address that position in this offseason. They have to get one of these big name shortstop. And if it ends up being Carlos Correa, the biggest shortstop on the market, the Tigers are really cooking with something at that point. And you are really setting up for something really special for this team. And I brought up the expectations go higher when you sign a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez or you bring a guy like Tucker Barnhart. If you get Carlos Correa, those expectations even go even higher. Mm-hmm. Where, like instantly. I said, yeah, you are a for sure division contender and a playoff contender at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something the Tigers need to get done. As far as Justin Verlander, I'm absolutely all in. Bring Justin Verlander back to Detroit. But I will say, it doesn't have to happen. Like, would it be great if it happens? Absolutely. I mean, that is a luxury of all luxuries. Justin Verlander at this point is a luxury. After getting the Eduardo Rodriguez deal done, I didn't really think it was possible the Tigers could get two high-end starters. I didn't think that was a plan.
No, I didn't think we were going to get JV after signing Erod. I literally said in my video, I'm like, this probably means Joe JV, but that's okay. Yeah. But now, today, we're recording this on Tuesday night, we've seen multiple reports and rumors about JV maybe coming back here. It's like, all right, we're going to get both of them? Sure. Hey, can you imagine a rotation, possibly, of Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, Erod, JV, Matt Manning? Are you kidding me?
I know. That's just like at Comerica Park.
Oh.
That's just like unbelievable. That's unbelievable. So, I mean, like I said, Verlander is a luxury if we could somehow get him to come here. I don't think it's necessarily a necessity. A guy like Carlos Correa is a necessity. We need Carlos Correa.
Yeah. We need a shortstop.
Like, that's something that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Tigers can't get a JV done deal, like, let's say he goes to the East Coast, because that was the report. He's favoriting either the East Coast or the Tigers. That's where he would probably end up.
Mm-hmm.
If the Tigers don't end up with Justin Verlander, that's fine. It really is fine. Because you mentioned it. You already still have four guys that you're counting on to be in your rotation next year. You're obviously going to need another guy in that rotation. You can't just come into the season with those guys. And then
they still need another starter. Yeah, but like,
it doesn't have to be a high-end guy like Justin Verlander. No. It could be, you know, like, I'm just thinking of a middle-line guy like Alex Cobb, who was a guy they were rumored to, or, you know, you could bring back a Willie Peralta, or you could just bring back a lot of multiple guys on minor league contracts.
You could start Tyler Alexander if you really wanted that
as well. And you're going to have Joey Wentz too, so you could have him compete as well in the springtime. Like, you have guys technically, so you don't need to technically pay like a guy like Justin Verlander what he's going to get. But I'm not complaining.
But that doesn't mean I don't want JV to come back here.
I am not saying that at all.
No, yeah.
I would gladly take Justin Verlander back. But like, my point is like, if we don't end up getting Justin Verlander, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't, because, like I said, you have four guys you're going to count on already, and then you could bring in guys on lower-end contracts, minor league deals, and you still have some guys within your system who could compete for that fifth spot. So it's not necessarily a necessity as much as the shortstop, but if the Tigers could get the shortstop done and another high-caliber pitcher like Justin Verlander in your rotation, I mean, sheesh, that is a very, very, very filthy rotation, because at that point, I mean, like I said, we only really need a fourth or fifth guy in the rotation. If you're counting on Justin Verlander to be your fourth or fifth guy in your rotation, that is unfair.
That's huge. Because we were talking about this before we started recording. Like, hypothetically, if the Angels got JV, he'd be probably the number two.
It's how you view Shohei as a pitcher. Do you think I don't think he's an ace. I think Shohei's like a two or three as a pitcher. And then they obviously got Syndergaard already, so. Yeah, I mean,
let me say this then. Let me rephrase it. JV would be one of the top guys in that rotation, though.
No, most definitely. I mean, Noah Syndergaard is coming off of Tommy John, too, as well.
Yeah, so he would go to Anaheim and be, like, one of their top guys, if not the top guy. But he would come here, and I would ask him to be, at best, our
three. At best.
Casey's your opening day starter. That's your ace. Yes. And then your number two is probably going to be Tarek.
Eduardo could be a two, though, if like Tarek struggles.
Two and three is interchangeable. You could make an argument for Erod. You could make an argument for Tarek. I agree with both. So yeah. Casey's your opening day starter. That's your ace. And then two or three in any order is Tarek and Erod. JV could be your four, and Matt Manning's your five, because he's the most inexperienced and I would say Raw the young three, you know?
Definitely, like, yeah.
Are you kidding me? JB is our four? Dude,
that is unfair, too, to go along with my Scooble and Manning, because I think those guys are just only going to get better. And especially a guy like Matt Manning, because I think we could both agree he was kind of put in a situation that he probably shouldn't have been last year.
He would not have pitched last year if it wasn't for all the injuries.
Yeah, or maybe he gets a late September call-up or something like that. But, like, yeah.
The way he was pitching in Toledo.
Probably not. But, like, I think me and you are still under, you know, we still think Matt Manning has a high ceiling. Maybe not to be an ace.
I still do. No, I still do. I think he can still be really good for us.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be an ace, and that's fine. I don't think he'll even
I don't need him
two.
To.
Yeah, we don't need him to. No,
we've got two guys who can be our ace, Casey and Tarik.
That's it I'm saying. But, like, he has the potential to be a two or three. I think that's a ceiling. And if we're going to be asking him to be a number five, I think even asking him to be a number five right now is still unbelievable, even, like, what we've seen out of him so far.
Mm-hmm.
And just to assume that his game is going to get better, I mean, come on, man. That is nice.
You know, I brought up how Eduardo is so perfect for this team and this young rotation because of his postseason experience and just how, if you think about it, how he just might be the perfect veteran for this young rotation. Well, if you add JV on top of that, oh my goodness, that's two guys who have won a World Series and two guys who have tons of postseason experience. Like, you think Erod's going to help the big three of Mize, Manning, Scooble? Well, let's add JV on top of that, too. Oh, like, Mize, Manning, and Scooble, if we land JV, too, they might be the biggest winners here because they get to learn from them. Oh.
Yeah, and you know JV, just having history in Detroit, obviously wants to win. I'm not saying Eduardo's going to win here, but, like, JV...
JV has a connection here. He has a connection with the city. A personal connection with the city and the fans.
Exactly. This was a team that gave him an opportunity that drafted him, and obviously he played, you know, some very good baseball here for multiple years, and that's just an understatement.
His brother has gone on record, to Ben Verlander, he's gone on record to say that JV has thought about coming back here. So, like, the timing has never been right for him to come back here. Like, he's a free agent. There are teams out there who are thinking it might be a little risky to go get JV with his age and just coming off Tommy John surgery. Tigers are ready to contend. They want another free agent starter. Sheesh.
Everything's like, falling in place.
It's just falling in place. For JV and Carlos Correa, I'm getting way too excited about Carlos Correa. Like, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to be absolutely heartbroken. Like, I agree with you, Tyler. If we don't get JV, it's fine because we still have Erod. But if we can't get Carlos Correa, we have to settle with, like, this isn't a shot at, like, Marcus Semien. I like Marcus Semien. I would be very happy if we ended up signing him, but at the same time, though, if we can't get a Correa and we have to settle with, like, a Semien, like, I'm getting my hopes up because there's so much buzz for Carlos Correa coming here. Like, to me, that's the top free agent on the market. So
I'll contradict that. I think if you get a Seager or a Semien, I think that's fine. Like, I think those are still very good players.
They
Correa's
are both fine.
One.
They are my other two options after Correa.
Yeah.
But my point is, I'm getting so excited with all the buzz around Correa coming here that if it doesn't happen, even though I'll be happy with getting a Corey Seager or Marcus Semien, I'll still be heartbroken because we didn't get Correa. Like, that's how high my hopes are getting. I do not want Javi Baez.
I was just going to say, if we end up with, like, a Trevor Story, Javi Baez, then that's a completely different story.
Like,
I'm actually very disappointed.
Yeah, my tweet where I said I'll scream if we land both Correa and JV, if we land Javi Baez or Trevor Story, I'll scream, but not in a good way.
That would be a big, like, terrible, like, way to go out if we did that.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Javi Baez or Trevor Story. Javi Baez, I used to be a big Javi Baez guy, but his strikeouts concerned me last year. And Trevor Story, you could look up the numbers. He can't hit outside of Coors Field. So, like, that's all I need to say about them, too. But, no. Again, though, the Tigers have had a monster offseason already, though, with Tucker Barnhart and Erod. And now if they can add one or both of Carlos Correa and JV on top of that.
also, hey. something that always comes to play. I'm not joking here. You guys know I love minor league baseball, but the minor league contracts that come in play too, because those guys could compete in spring training with the spring training invite, right? And you could maybe find some sleepers, like as far as some veterans competing for a bullpen job, which I think this team still needs a bullpen, another reliever on this team. So I look at that type of market, but that's a little later on in the offseason. I mean, we'll get into that probably not until January or February when we get a little closer to spring training and when guys are still available. But that's another thing I'm going to be looking out for in this offseason. But that's way, you know, down the line as well. So, you know, right now it's all on mind is the big free agents, guys like Correa and JV, and then we'll fill out those, you know, the smaller pieces as guys to get some bullpen help, or, you know, if we need another outfielder or whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah. Me and Tyler are having fun. Me and Tyler have been talking for way too long here. Let's get the other guys in here. Me and Tyler are having fun. Like, you can clearly tell we're having fun. But let's start with Jay Horn. He's another big baseball guy. Not a lot of people might know that, but Jay is a big baseball guy. He was looking forward to talking Tigers today.
Yeah, that's my sport, basketball and baseball. I used to play it. They don't know that.
So, Jay, you've seen what the Tigers have already done and what they are rumored to do. And like I've said, they got to put their money where their mouth is. But you see what they have done and what they might do as well. I mean, what's your thoughts on the Tigers offseason so far? What's your excitement level?
I'll be at opening day if they get Correa. I stand on that. I'm optimistic. You know, I think we'll get them. I don't know about JV. That's still like a 50-50 thing for me.
That's fine.
The Correa thing has to happen no matter what. Like, that has to happen. It's been too much buzz. I believe he wanted to come here once AJ Hinch got here.
Shortstop is a way bigger need to me than adding another big-time starting pitcher. Or just any starting pitcher, period.
And our rotation is young, so I think we'll be completely fine. And E-Rock can hold it down until we get, you know, Mize and Scooble up. But I'm looking forward to it. I think our team is going to be much better, a lot better.
Oh, yeah, especially if they sign Correa. I mean, you sign Correa, that's almost Pudge-like. Your expectations instantly.
And hypothetically, if we do get him and JV, my goodness, I'd probably cry.
Oh, well, like I tweeted, I'll scream and then I'll probably end up crying.
I don't want to say like this team is like who I'm going to say, but like the Braves, like how I don't want to say we're like the Braves, but like the young core wise and like that one like veteran, like in the infield. Well, Miggy's like 50 almost, but Jesus. But it still works. And I think we'll be like the Braves were. Like, we'll slowly but surely like get better. And make the postseason maybe next year if we get, you know, Correa and JV.
Well, but the window opens instantly if you sign Correa. Yeah,
for sure. And, like, how the Braves, you know, built that team up, you know, in, like, a 3-year to 5-year span and added a piece every year. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this team is looking like. But next year, I'm going all in. we should be – I'm going ALDS. Maybe – no, ALCS if we get Correa and JV.
Next year?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm reaching. I'm reaching, but I'm excited.
Jay, I hope you're right, my brother.
I would love for him to be right.
Because it'd be October. Trash talk October.
We'll be there. Trash talk Tigers October.
All right. I will be there in the cold.
Man, well, I mean, Jay is right from the standpoint, though, of, like I said, if you sign Carlos Correa, the expectations for this team instantly go up. Like, you gotta start winning baseball games, and they will. Like, they absolutely will. Those are high expectations for year one, though. I'm not against it, but, like, I don't know. Tyler, is there something you wanted to say?
Oh, I was just oozing over the idea of October Tiger Talk Baseball. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Like I said, though, the minute you sign Correa, hypothetically, the expectations would go through the roof, though. The window would open immediately. So, yeah. Jay is right from that standpoint. I don't know if I would go ALCS right off the bat, but the expectations will be higher than what it was.
Yeah, fair game. That's my bias. My bias. When we all have our biases with the Tigers, but
I think I'll call for a World Series the minute we sign Correa. Yeah,
we should be in the playoffs next year, and I feel like this team is like just like I hate the Astros, but how they built their system up just like that. We're doing that with all of our young guys, and you know Robbie Grossman, by the way. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Tony called the World Series before we signed Correa, before we signed Verlander, when he saw Torkelson had a mustache.
Hey,
I forgot about those two.
Hey, you be nice about my World Series expectations when I saw Torque's mustache.
Which I dig. Yeah. I dig the mustache.
Yeah, no. We're going to win a World Series because
we're
going to
be
mustache.
So good in like 2 years, man.
Okay. Jay, that's where I'm in. All in 2023.
That Tyler's always
been
in for
2023. That's gonna be Miggy's last year too.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, 2022 can't be 2022 doesn't have to be a bad year though.
No, it doesn't. But 23 is the year.
You know, we can make the playoffs this year coming up, and then if we don't win, possibly 2020, we have to win in 2023. No ifs, ands, or buts.
All right, we're running out of time here. I got to get to the other two guys quickly. Let's start with Mike. You hear our excitement level with what the Tigers have done and what they might also continue to do for the rest of this offseason. Where's your excitement level at as someone who might not be as invested in baseball as, say, like a me, Tyler, or Jay?
It's still very high. You guys explained it very well. So I don't know how you can't get excited if you live in, you know, Metro Detroit and seeing that the Tigers are possibly on their way to competing again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. I'll be spending a lot of money on the Tigers this season.
Me too.
A lot of money.
I have to get a couple custom shirts. I'm going to have to get a couple jerseys. I'm going to have to buy tickets. Yeah.
A little bit's going to go to Toledo, though.
Oh, no, we got to save money for Toledo, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of buy one, get one free elephant ears. Elephant ears in October, Mike.
We got to go see the Park Inn again, man.
We got to stay there this time.
No, we're not staying there. I don't even know if it's open.
Are they open?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell once night came out.
Looked like just a dark sky to me. I didn't even know there was a building there. All right, Grant Richards, you'll have a final word here, and then we'll go on and get out of here. So, Grant, same question to you. You've seen what the Tigers have done to start the offseason, and you see what they are rumored to potentially also do. Where's your excitement level at with the Tigers right now?
Well, first things first, this is probably the most, like, screw you money any team I've supported has had going into the offseason. So it's like very exciting from that standpoint to just kind of realize the possibilities. But I think I'm a little lower in excitement just because nothing's happened.
No shot at E-Rod.
Like you said, sixth in Cy Young voting. That's not nothing. That's a great pitcher. But I mean, the two names that have been floating for a while, I'm not getting juiced up over that right now. Like, it's exciting to hear. I think you showed us right before the show that JV will not be pursuing the Angels or vice versa. So that just kind of one more building block down for him to potentially come here. But I just want to keep a level head about this because, I mean, you guys should have seen me when the Raiders got Antonio Brown.
I would have loved to seen that.
Oh my goodness. I was gassed up. I was ready to take on the world. And that got ripped out from under me, right from under my feet, you could say. It's very exciting if we get one of these guys, if we manage to swing both Correa and JV, which it doesn't sound impossible because the Tigers just have that much money. I don't know. It'll be very exciting, very great for Detroit, and just kind of quick start, like jump starting this whole, or basically finishing this rebuild and just kind of being like, all right, like you guys said, I think Jay said it, the window's open, time to go get it. But as of right now, it's kind of we're relaxing. Nothing's like, again, the two guys that have been rumored the most have not committed anywhere. We haven't heard much. Yeah. So I'm trying to keep a level head, but deep down, I already see them both in the old English D.
Hey, now, you know, Grant is right, though. And that's where I'm going to go back to my point of putting your money where your mouth is. I mean, though all this rumor talk is cool and all these reports are awesome to read and hear and talk about, Grant is right that it's not actually official signing reports, though. You know, I do understand if you want to temper your expectations a little bit until you actually see the news that the Tigers signed Carlos Correa and or Justin Verlander. That is absolutely fair. But at the same time, though, coming into an offseason where we knew the Tigers had to spend money and they had to make some big-time moves and get some big-time names in here to really take this team out of a rebuild and begin to start going into contention, to see what the Tigers have done already and what they are rumored to possibly also do in addition to the moves they've already made, woo! It's exciting. It's really, really exciting.
I just want to finalize my point with just something you actually just said. The Tigers don't just have this money. They have to spend this money. Like, you can't just be like, you know what? We're good right now. We're just going to sit on millions and millions of dollars. Like, they have to go get people. And so that kind of, like, if they didn't have the money they had, either Correa or Verlander would not be as like promising, but now that they have the money and they have to spend it, it's kind of pointing me in that direction.
Yeah. No, again, we knew the Tigers had to spend this offseason. If they did not spend money this offseason, it would have been vastly disappointing. And this offseason still could end up being really disappointing if we don't land a top shortstop. Like, let's not get it twisted here. Though we're really excited right now, if the Tigers can't land one of these top names, that's going to suck. And I'm going to go in front of my camera and also in front of this microphone and be like, oh, what the hell? Why did we not do anything? Again, this offseason still could be disappointing. Like, if the Tigers don't bring any one of these big-time shortstops in here, like, I'm going to be disappointed, okay? But at the same time, though, as of now, seeing all the rumors, seeing the moves we have already made, I'm excited. And a lot of other Tiger fans are excited too. So hopefully the Tigers put their money where their mouth is and they actually bring in a Carlos Correa and or a JV on top of V-Rod and Tucker Barnhart. Because if they do that, ooh, we're rolling. The Tigers are for sure going to be back. But with that, gentlemen, I think that's a good way to wrap up today's program. It was a fun and exciting show talking about the excitement we have with the Tigers right now. And also talk about me and Tyler having a good time at LCA on Saturday night. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me this week. And thank you all for listening as well. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Nabrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next time.